NFL experience, then this is the show for you. This is Up on Game with LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plaxico Burress.
Did you hear that? LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Plaxico Burress?
It's a show with three of the best to ever do it on and off the field.
Live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios.
And now, here's Pro Bowlers LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion Plaxico Burress.
All right, hour two. Welcome into the show. If you're just now tuning in, and we appreciate you continuing to listen if you've already been listening. It's hour two. Listen, we're broadcasting live. Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio Studios. Call 1-888. Farmers, the switch. You could save an average of $470 on auto insurance. That's a lot of money. That was a lot of hate. Or a quick phone call. Don't you think? Yeah, I think so. Average nationwide annual savings survey. Data July to December of 2020.
We are farmers.
I mean, if they said money don't change it, I don't know what they meant, because them eights, you know, when it's too many eights, I get all like wound up and I trip on all over them. So
it depends if they're going to your pocket or you're reading them off the prompt.
The more digits you get, the better it gets. That's what I hear. I don't know.
Everything and everybody starts to look just a little bit better.
Hey, eight's your number, ain't it? Ain't that your draft? Ain't that your draft number?
Yeah, I was drafted eight.
You were drafted sure eight. Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's interesting. All right. Mm-hmm. 2000. All right. All right, everyone. That, and that voice is Plaxico Burress. He actually went to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And on the side of me is TJ Houshmandzadeh. His hair is looking real, real fly, people. I'll tell you what, if y'all don't get this man a shampoo commercial at some point in time, somebody needs to be fired, bro.
You know what? You know what? You need to be joining Troy Polamalu and Patrick Mahomes in that Head and Shoulders commercial.
I mean, it was
somewhere along. You the real OG.
I was about to say it was you first, before.
I was like the first one. Yeah.
It was you before, yeah. Polamalu.
Troy talking about he the OG. You the real OG.
You the real OG of it.
And you got baby powder on your chest.
And he do got baby powder. Unbelievable. Anyway. Yeah. So that's us. And this is Up on Game. And listen, we got a great topic to jump right into. The draft is coming up, and we've been talking about quarterbacks the whole first hour, and we've been talking about draft pick quarterbacks. So let's talk about it a little bit more. Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, Trey Lance. There may be another name that we're not mentioning, but who is the game changer? Like we saw some guys come out of the draft over the last couple years where we feel a certain type of way. Joe Burrow came in and did some amazing things before his injury. You know, obviously, the kid for
Justin Herbert
for San Diego.
Los Angeles.
I mean, where we're at right now, who is the game changer of this group of guys?
So Trevor Lawrence doesn't even get included because we assume he is game changer.
That's TJ's guy.
And honestly, Zach Wilson is probably going to be taken number two overall. Right, I think that's most likely.
Yeah, didn't I just say that?
Did I just say that? You mean number two overall, is that or the second number two overall?
Yeah, I think he's going to go to the Jets. That's what I've seen.
Number two overall. There's no way you pass up on this guy, man.
I honestly thought that was going to be the case until the trade. I just don't believe what Salah coming from San Francisco, that the Niners move up and give up all they give up to draft Justin Fields, Trey Lance, or Mac Jones. I don't see.
Can we assume with the Salah Kyle Shanahan connection that Kyle knows what the Jets are going to do?
Exactly.
Right.
They know.
So your thought is maybe they're going what, Penei Sewell? What are you thinking?
I believe the Jets, if you look at the 49ers, they became very dominant because of what they did up front on both sides of the ball. That's what the Jets want to be. They want to be dominant on both sides of the ball when we're talking interior alignment. And so that's the direction I believe they're going to move. Shanahan knows this. Zach Wilson, here you go.
If you're Robert Salah, you coming in and if you come into the New York Jets for your first season, you looking at Sam Darnold and looking at what he's been able to do over the last 3 or 4 years, you know that he is not the best answer for you to win the AFC East.
We played the receiver position.
No way.
Can you name, and I guarantee you're not going to be able to name one, name one receiver that played with Sam Darnold that would start on any other team in the NFL. Just name one.
Let me see.
Crickets.
What's the guy's name? I know who the guy is.
I'll tell you. You want me to tell you who it is?
Number 11.
I'll tell you the name. Like, it's Robbie Anderson.
Exactly. So number 11, right?
And he plays with him 1 year, and then he goes bye-bye. Robbie Anderson. And so you just look at the skill guys. Look at his skill players. He hasn't had the quality of skill guys that other guys have been afforded. And so you can't even determine whether Darnold is that guy or not, because he's not playing with the type of players that other guys are playing with. I mean, you look at Joe Burrow. He goes in there. He has A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins. You look at Justin Herbert. He has Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Hunter Henry. It's not fair when you say, oh, Sam Darnold can't play. Sam Darnold is not playing with the type of players that these other quarterbacks are playing with. And so I believe Salah being the great coach he is, LaFleur being the OC, is going to say, I believe if we get him those type of players, he can be our quarterback. That's just my belief.
Mm.
Okay, so how long is it going to take them to get those players?
You better develop guys very well. I mean, it's not going to be 1 year. You know that. In next year's draft class, for quarterbacks, at least right now, is not the strongest. And so you would assume he would have 2 more years, but you have to pick up his fifth-year option. I mean, there's a lot of variables. They'll see how he looks in practice. There's so many things that can happen, but they're not. I just don't see them moving off of Sam Darnold after this trade. I believe they've been very transparent with the 49ers just because they're friendly there. And you don't move up, at least in my opinion, a draft alignment. And I don't believe you move up and give up what you gave up to get Justin Fields, Trey Lance, or Mac Jones. I just don't see it.
Well, I just cannot believe that Sam Darnold is going to be the quarterback of the New York Jets this season. You're going to take an offensive tackle, and all Sam Darnold's problems are going to go away. I just don't see that happening. I think if you're the New York Jets, you don't address a position. You're going to take the best player after Trevor Lawrence, and that guy is Zach Wilson. If you want to get better and even just contend to win the AFC East, Sam Darnold is not your guy. I don't care who you put out there with him beside him. He's not that guy.
Well, here's the problem I have. Y'all mentioned Justin Fields as like a side note, a cliff note, just kind of brushed over him. Trey Lance played at South Dakota. You know, and I know you can look at guys and you can look at talent and you can say, you can see the talent, doesn't matter what the level of competition would be. But I also will say you can look at talent when it plays at the highest levels of competition. And exactly. You can learn a whole lot from that. And I'm a testament to that. I have a problem with us overlooking what Justin Fields brings to the table. We look at what Trevor Lawrence has done at Clemson, and we have no questions. Nobody really questions where Trevor Lawrence is. Nobody questions the fact that he's going to be the number one guy. We talk about how he's a generational talent. I get all that. But he was outclassed, and I know you'll disagree with me, TJ, and I understand that. But on a big stage, Trevor Lawrence was outplayed, outdueled, outclassed by the quarterback on the other team, and there were cracks. To me, I saw weaknesses, I saw vulnerabilities in Trevor Lawrence in that game against Ohio State. Now, if I'm looking at that and I'm comparing and I'm contrasting, if most of the guys that are going to get drafted and end up having opportunities to improve defenses and teams in the National Football League on these teams, then I get a preview, a precursor of what these guys are going to be possibly as pros. Now, maybe that didn't happen with Dwayne Haskins, and we can look at a lot of different quarterbacks and say that they didn't necessarily pan out once they got to the National Football League. But a lot of that, to me, is when you're coming from high school and you go into college and you're the best athlete, best football player in high school, The same thing happens in the pros when you leave college. When you get to college, you start to realize that, man, I'm not bigger than everybody anymore. I'm not stronger than everybody anymore. I'm not faster than everybody anymore. And now it comes down to a more mental game, a more mental aspect of what's going to take place. Same thing happens when you go to the pros. It's like, man, I'm not bigger than everybody else anymore. I'm not stronger than everybody else anymore. And then you start to realize that, man, Tom Brady doesn't look physically imposing more than anybody else that has played this game. But his mental game is so on point. His mental game and his preparation is so ridiculous. Every player that I've ever heard have a ton of success in the National Football League, like on Hall of Fame level, All-Pro level, you know, Pro Bowl level. Their preparation was pretty phenomenal in how they got ready for seasons. And I think that that's the separation. The preparation is the separation a lot of times. I look at Justin Fields. He's a work hard. He's a work hard overachiever. He carries a boulder on his shoulder in terms of not gaining the respect and the exposure of some of these other quarterbacks that are being talked about. And I think that is interesting that I almost feel as though after all of these pro days, it's like Justin Fields' name has been swallowed up by other names. And I would disagree, and I would caution that we do not get so carried away. When you see a guy that is as talented as Justin Fields is, when you get caught up into, okay, this guy had a great workout here. This guy had a great workout, and he shows great film on what he's done. That's wonderful. I think it makes a lot of sense, but I think that it's not – I don't think that that is what we should base losing sight. We're not losing sight of Trevor Lawrence. Why are we losing sight of Justin Fields right now?
Nobody is losing sight of Justin Fields.
Listen,
if we go back to the first couple shows, I came out and said that I thought Justin Fields was the second best quarterback going into this draft. Just like I said earlier, when Zach Wilson went out there and had a good pro day, the guy was in helmets. The guy was in shorts and t-shirts. I haven't had the opportunity to really watch him play because he played at BYU, he played on the West Coast, and they say this guy Trey Lance that plays at South Dakota that he has the strongest arm in the draft. I don't dispute that, but all I have to go off is what I can see.
Yes,
I've seen Justin Fields lead this Ohio State team up and down the field, and he's been an elite quarterback in college football for the past two or three years. Trevor Lawrence is the obvious number one pick. We know that. But now going into this draft, I still believe Justin Fields is the best fit for the San Francisco 49ers. There's no doubt about it. He's the best fit for the San Francisco 49ers. TJ just said that when Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers got into the playoffs versus the Green Bay Packers, they could not throw the football. Now, if you want to throw the football outside of Trevor Lawrence, who are you going to take? You're going to take Justin Fields because you know what?
He can throw.
Make every throw on the football field, and he is pinpoint accurate. And I would take that any day over Trey Lance and a good workout by Zach Wilson from BYU.
No, you won't.
We haven't had the opportunity to see. Trust the Big Ten.
He can run too, though.
Listen.
He on, also
Justin
run.
Fields can play. Justin Fields can play.
Here it comes.
He can
come
play.
On,
no,
man.
No, no.
Here
no.
It comes.
He can play. And Trey Lance can play. But Trey Lance, he hasn't thrown more than 25 passes ever in a game. And so he may be a great quarterback, but when they're taking the game out of your hands, I mean, he's throwing the ball 20 to 25, 23 times a game. Zach Wilson can do everything. He has the strongest arm in the draft. Zach Wilson does. Zach Wilson can throw it from any angle, any platform.
What good is that strong arm? What good is that strong arm if you can't get it done? If you ain't got all the other intangibles to go along with the tangibles?
Who says he can't? I mean, just
I don't know.
He went to BYU. You only can play the teams on a schedule. And all of this is very subjective.
It is.
If these guys get in great situations, they are going to play well. At one point in time, Sam Darnold was a guy that everybody thought would do well. He went to the Jets. Oh, he's terrible now. If you get to a bad situation, you are not going to perform. It's just that simple. All these quarterbacks should pray they can get to the 49ers. Because if you get to the 49ers with Kyle Shanahan, more times than not, the percentages say you're going to do very well. Justin Fields can play. But in my opinion, Zach Wilson is the number two quarterback in this draft, maybe number one.
I think we got to take a good hard look at these quarterbacks.
Oh, now he's number one. Oh, what happened to your generational talent from Clemson? No. What happened to that guy?
No.
Oh, now Zach Wilson's number one.
I didn't say he was number one. I said
you just said, oh, maybe. Oh, what happened to your generational talent?
Nope. We'll continue this one later. We'll continue it later because coming up next, we got Lamar Odom, two-time NBA champion, former Laker coming on. So we'll take that.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman. And I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, the Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you can get your podcast.
Welcome back to the show. As promised, you're listening to Up On Game with LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burris. And our next guest, a very esteemed fella. I grew up being a fan of him, even though we were the same age. I was a fan because let me tell you how this worked. Because I was always the one sitting on the bench on the travel AAU teams watching all the great players play, and this was one of them. Two-time NBA champion, former Laker.
From Rhode Island to L.A.
Yeah, you know who it is.
Hello.
Lamar Odom joins us on Up On Game. What's up, bro?
What's up, bro? How you guys doing today?
Man, love having you on, man. Appreciate you taking a little bit of time to come chop it up with your boys.
Oh, no, it's all good. It's all good. It's all love.
Indeed. All love. Indeed. So what you got?
Are you in L.A.?
We're in L.A. Yep, we're out of L.A. right now. So, but everybody in the country can hear you right now with what you got going on. So talk to us about what you got going on. What's the latest things that you got going on? I know you done put some you're trying to be a pugilistic fighter right now. How's you going to go do a little exhibition?
I'm a little tired right now from training this morning.
Yeah. How's it going?
It's going good. I mean, I've used boxing to train like my best years with the Lakers.
Okay.
So I'm familiar with the training. And I've always been a fan of the sport. You know, I grew up on Mike Tyson and Hagler and Lennon. And those guys, so it's pretty easy for me to pick up. But I love doing it.
And you're fighting Aaron Carter. It's a celebrity boxing match. Now, you do understand that there is a lot of pressure on you, bro, because your boy Nasty Nate took that L the way that he did.
Yeah.
You're tall. You know, he might go for your ribs and go for them kidneys and that liver, man. What you going to come with game plan-wise?
It's all good. I'm going to finish dude quick.
You're going to finish him quick.
That's hey, what yo. I wanted. Hey, walking I'm, down I'm with a Kool-Aid I'm smile?
Finish, yeah, I'm going to finish it quick, and then it's in Atlantic City, so I'm going to go gamble right after that.
If it's Atlantic City, I'm definitely going to be there. But look, man, you know you 6'10", 6'11", man. That shoulder roll for you is all rib shot. So, you know, that shoulder roll ain't like Floyd. You got to protect that rib cage, baby. Keep that chin down. You know what I mean?
He's going to be like docile in there.
Yeah,
it ain't going to be no hiding. His reach advantage is ridiculous. He's going to punch him in the corner. You're going to be in your corner. You're going to drop him.
Hey, I can't wait to see the tail of the tape when I see the reach comparison.
This is going to be light work. Matter of fact, we got a press conference coming up for April 9th in Philly.
Let me ask you, what made you decide this is something you wanted to do? And how'd you guys settle upon Aaron Carter?
Well, you know, every boxer, what makes a boxer take a fight, a big fight, is the purse. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't turn it down. Mm-hmm. And Aaron Carter, I just left it up to them. This is their job to set up fights and all of that. And that's what they came up with. Because I'm feeling the same way. I'm like, Aaron Carter, that's what y'all came up with. But, you know, the purse is, I can't deny taking a chance with that purse.
Hey, man, look, we'll go out there and lay hands, man. Do what you do. Put hands on that man. You know what I mean?
That's a fact.
you overcame a lot. And this is one of those moments, Lamar, where you're like, all right, he's getting back in the ring. The physical nature of boxing is very, very trying. So, I mean, does that answer all of the questions that Lamar Odom is back? He feels great. Everything is, you know, all of the questions, because you have been one of the most polarizing figures in all of sports. So how do you feel this? Does this, like, give you a platform for that?
Yeah, no, physically, I'm straight. Only problems that I had from the accident, probably like my cognitive.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Everything else is pretty okay, like my balance. And I'm gonna be able to duck and dodge these punches that he's trying to throw at me from the ground.
You could duck a punch. come on, Mar.
Come on, man.
You ain't ducking nobody's punch.
Don't duck it. Just way back.
I'm gonna be able to dip in Bob.
You gonna dip in Bob?
Hey, I'm gonna be there. If it's in AC, I'm gonna be there.
I'm coming too.
I'm gonna be there. I'm in Jersey, so I'm gonna be there.
Are you in Jersey?
Yeah, I'm in Jersey. Them boys out there in California, but yeah, I'm gonna be there, front center, front row.
I'm gonna need all my celebrity love power to come out.
Oh yeah, we're gonna be there. But look, hey, look, but changing gears, man. You know, I'm all about highlighting, you know, where we're from and, you know, how we came up and where we came up, man. Speaking of, you know, you playing basketball in high school, man, going to Christ the King. I just saw the other day that Carmelo said that his son Keon was going to Christ the King, man. And for people that don't know, you know, it's one of the legendary premier, you know, basketball institutions in all of America from the high school level, man. Tell us about the culture over there, man, and what makes it so special.
Oh yeah, I mean, I call it Christ the King University, because on a basketball level, it definitely prepares you for the next level, and you know the support that you get from the school is definitely like a collegiate atmosphere, and basketball is king at Christ the King, and basketball is king in New York City, so it's a great representation in New York.
That's what's up. Hey, will this be a one-off thing, or if they come with the bag, they continue to come with it, you'll continue to do this, or
now, hopefully, if I look good, you know, doing it, I can defend Nate and ask for a shot with that kid. Who needs to make a fight?
Who, Jake or the Pauls?
Yeah,
one of those.
Yeah,
Jake Paul.
Hopefully, I could do this in good fashion and hopefully get a fight with one of them.
Oh wow!
Okay.
We got Lamar Odom, two-time NBA champion, former Laker, on the hotline talking about how he going to drop them and put them down and go
walk
ahead and
them down
that
with
purse
a Kool-Aid smile.
And then go put the purse down on a blackjack table on one hand and then walk out of that with a dub too. So
I wish we could bet in Vegas, cuz I would just put the bag on myself.
Hey, that's what Floyd be doing.
I know that's what he be doing. He got to do that. I would do it too if I was him. I put the whole house on myself. But you can't do that for this fight. You can't do that. You can't bet. We can't bet because it's an average fight.
We're going to slide into this one. Yeah. We're going to handle that for the next fight.
Hey, Mark. Let's jump into a different topic right now. The Lake Show, they're dealing with injuries and
I said that, you know, they were my favorite to do it again, to repeat, barring injuries. Uh-huh. We all know in sports, your last play could be your last play.
True.
And, it's too bad that the Lakers are getting hit with the injury bug. Hopefully those guys are healed and get back on the court healthy, and we can try to win another championship.
Who do you think, if it's not them, who do you think has the best chance right now?
Ah, man. Oof.
Do you think it's Utah or the Nuggets?
Yeah, I would say that between Utah and the Nuggets, because the Nuggets got a lot better. They got JaVale McGee, somebody to back up Jokic, and they got the forward from Orlando,
Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, to help Jamal Murray putting the ball in the basket from the perimeter, and another slasher. So they got a lot better, and they got better defensively with McGee. So I don't know, man. Jokic is playing at a high level. I would take Denver over Utah right now.
Speaking of Jokic, who's your MVP?
I'm saying Jokic or Luka.
Jokic got game. No, James Harden in there.
It ain't Harden.
Oh, Harden. Harden playing at a high level too, man. He got the next popping. He's the best left hand player ever. He's definitely in the race for MVP. He can definitely get it as well.
So hello, man. So one more question, man. So almost about 10 years ago, like to the day, like you won the Sixth Man of the Year award, man, for the Lakers, and you know, everybody was just talking about, you know, how selfless and Kobe and how unselfish you was. And I saw how emotional you was when it got announced. So tell us how that made you feel, man.
Oh man, the one, the Sixth Man of the Year. I think it was really emotional for me because it took a lot of support from the outside, because that year I was shooting a reality show with Khloe Kardashian, bro. That was a hot reality show that year.
Right, right.
How did that go?
Oh no, it went good. It went good. The reality show, it was a hit.
I watched.
I was definitely made me like a crossover, like a basketball star, and made me like a Hollywood star at the same time.
Is there going to be a sequel?
No.
Is there going to be a sequel?
I asked a question about the Sixth Man of the Year,
I
man.
I know, but I'm just saying, is there going to be a sequel to that?
It's almost 10 years to the date, man. Let that man elaborate on his award, man.
I'm sorry.
It was emotional for me because it took a lot of support, of course, from the organization, of course, from players like my big brother, Kobe Bryant. I had to get the green light. You know what I'm saying? He told me, hello, if you're going to do it, be the best at it. And I did it. And that year was a good year for me, because I came in great shape, because we just won the world championship with USA. So I was fully prepared. I was knocking them out. I had a lot of fun doing that, man. 6 years, but it was a lot of emotion, because a lot of emotions came up from what I've been through, my journey.
Before we let you go, Mart, and we're talking to Lamar Odom, two-time NBA champ with the Lakers, formerly of the Lakers. What you talk about all the things that you've gone through and you've had to endure. What's the biggest thing you're proud of that you were able to come through before we let you go? The first thing that comes to mind. Is it a family deal? Is it I overcame? Is it like... No,
probably surviving that incident in the brothel. You know what I'm saying? I was poisoned. I didn't do drugs that night. And, I mean, it took me down. Had 12 strokes and 6 heart attacks. So,
wow.
I guess that's, you know what I'm saying? I'm a fighter.
Yeah.
I'm triumphant over everything that I've been through. I've overcame it. I beat it. I'm here. I'm talking to y'all. I woke up one morning. I couldn't walk, couldn't talk.
Yeah.
So, feel me? So, I'm here.
Indeed. Yeah.
That's what's up. Yo, man, are you still eating your gummy bears or the Sour Patch Kids or your Lifesavers, man? What you got going on, man? You moved on to the Skittles or what?
Nah, I like the Sour Patch.
Yeah, the Sour Patch joints, right? You was running through about 3 or 4 bags a day.
Yeah,
I'm still on it too.
Hey, well, man.
Make sure you eat a bag before the fight. Let's go.
Hey, we appreciate you coming on, Lamar. That's Lamar Odom, two-time NBA champion,
love, baby,
with the formerly of the Lakers. Man, we really appreciate you, man.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey!
Welcome back to the show. Welcome in on Up On Game. It's been an amazing, amazing, amazing show. Yeah. We're live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call Farmers today for a quote. Listen, we just had Lamar Odom on. Plexico, I know you're into this one, and we're running down the end of this show, but I would be remiss if we didn't take what Lamar had to say and have some quick thoughts on what it is that he had to say. Here's what Lamar had to say just last segment. What's the biggest thing you're proud of that you were able to come through?
Probably surviving that incident within the brothel. You know what I'm saying? I was poisoned. I didn't do drugs that night. I mean, it took me down. I had 12 strokes and 6 heart attacks. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm a fighter, triumphant over everything that I've been through. I've overcame it. I beat it. I'm here. I'm talking to y'all. I woke up one morning. I couldn't walk, couldn't talk. Feel me? So I'm here.
6 heart attacks. First of all, I wasn't even aware of the fact that it was a poison deal. I don't have any reason to think that he was lying. So, I mean, right? I take it at face value. He was poisoned, dealt with 6 heart attacks. Man, like,
that's overcoming.
Talk about
that's unbelievable.
Resilient,
to say the least.
So now he's going into a boxing match, and it sounds as though Lamar Odom is on one of them journeys. He's on a quest to kind of prove to himself that he can accomplish things that, you know, he sets out to accomplish. It's more like, you know, you overcome something, you get a little bit far away from the game of basketball, so you can't go back into basketball and prove that, you know, you can do it by doing that. So you go take a charity fight. And you make a good coin doing it. Obviously, it sounded like you make some good right. money, but but I mean, it sounds as though him overcoming that night where basically heart attacks, that's your heart stopping. So he had to fight for his life and has come through that, and now we're at a place where he's actually healthy enough to go into a boxing ring, guys.
When you overcome what he has. Everybody saw the news when that happened, and the way it was reported.
You didn't think he was going to make it.
You didn't think he would make it. And so for you basically to stare death in his eyes and walk away from that, that's always a great thing. The Lord was on his side, and he needs to get his story out there, because there's plenty of people might not go through exactly what he's been through, but they'd have had a lot of hard times. And for him to overcome the heart attacks and can't walk and you can't do this and you can't do that, and to be functioning and be able to do what he wants to do as an adult, it's a great thing.
Yo, man, I just speaking with Lamar, and you know, it's like TJ said earlier, man, when you put your feet on the ground, man, it's a blessing, it's a beautiful thing, man. And for everybody, you know, everybody's going through some or have been through something, and you know, adversity builds character, man, and people. Mm-hmm. And you know, I always say that, you know, everybody has their mirror. Everybody owns a mirror, and it takes a hell of a person to come out here and get on a microphone and tell everybody their story and be candid about it and say, you know what, this is my story. This is who I am. I own it. This is my life. And for Lamar, and not even for him, but for just people. To put him out, put himself in a situation to go out, now he's boxing, and to be in a place to, you know what, I may get knocked down again, but I'm not afraid of that. And you know what? I may get knocked down in boxing, and I'm going to have to get up again. So peace to him, man, and just, you know, where he's at. I just think that, you know, it takes a hell of a person, man, to really just get out here and tell their story and be like, this is who I am, and I'm still here.
Love and respect to go out to Lamar Odom and what his future endeavors are. We all have things to overcome. Difference between one and another is if you choose to overcome it or you choose to look at it, pile up and just watch it. It's still going to be there no matter what you do, regardless. So shots out to Lamar and his fight to continue to grow and be better in life. If you missed it, you can hear the whole entire interview take place. Go on Apple Podcasts, anywhere where you download your podcast, and put Up On Game on your list of podcasts. Listen to us. Check us out. We had Rick Bucher on earlier. Shouts out to him. Happy birthday to Rick. Yeah, this is Up On Game. You have been put up on game. LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, Plexico Burris. We'll talk to you next week. Fox Sports Peace. Radio, we out.